I knew there would be a couple of spots where it might trip you up. So
I'll probably trip up anyway, but I'll try. I'll try.
That's all right. I will still laugh at you.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Welcome to The Geek in Review, the podcast focused on innovative and creative ideas in the legal industry. I'm Marlene Gebauer.
And I'm Greg Lambert. So we have a trio of guests this week who join us from Deloitte's Legal Businesses Services, including their newbie on the team, Bob Taylor, who just recently left Liberty Mutual's legal division after a just brief 25-year run, Marlene. So Bob is joined by Valerie Dickerson in D.C. and Mark Ross in L.A., and they give us an overview of what Deloitte is doing to guide their clients in the legal managed services field. And it's a really interesting point of view coming from how the big four professional services firms are handling the needs of their clients in these areas. So stick around for that, but right now let's jump into this week's Information Inspirations.
Okay, Greg, before we get started on our official inspirations, I wanted to give a quick mention. Check out the Twitter discussion about what it takes to start a startup. Kristen Hodgins, who's one of our former guests, started this tweet by asking, you know, how do you do it if you don't have a lot of money or financial backup? And, you know, lots of people jumped in on this conversation, and there were really several responses that you might not anticipate. In fact, you know, one of the people who had that sort of response is actually going to be a guest in a future episode, so we can talk to her about it.
Excellent. So yeah, it's kind of like the guy that came to town and he said, all I had was, the clothes on my back and a knapsack over my shoulder. And when you asked him what was in the knapsack, he said, well, about $3 million. So
exactly.
Since our interview's a little bit long this week, I narrowed my long list of inspirations that I had down to just this one, and I wanted to highlight a new podcast from the ABA's Young Lawyer Division called Young Lawyer Rising. And it's produced by our friends over at Legal Talk Network, and there are two episodes that came out in their launch this week, and one is dealing with civility, or the lack thereof in some cases, of lawyers who are entering the profession, and that one features Dr. Heidi Brown. We had Heidi Brown on the show.
Yes,
didn't we?
We did.
Okay,
yes, we did.
I thought we did. So we've had her on the show. And the other episode is the lessons learned over the past years in the COVID era. And so Sonia Russo and Matthew Kurbis, tag team on the Young Lawyer Rising podcast. And even though I'm not a young lawyer, Marlene, I think it's a good story to be told and heard from those of us who are at the beginning of a long career in the law.
Yeah, well, I always think it's good to listen to a variety of people. And so, listening to the up-and-comers is not a bad thing to do, folks, okay? Just putting it out there. Mm-hmm. All right, so, here's my official inspiration, Greg. It's always good to revisit AI ethics, particularly if it makes you laugh. So I thought that the Big Tech Guide to Talking About AI Ethics in the MIT Technology Review was pretty timely. Karen Ho is the author, and she's put together some definitions that are both funny and spot on. So here are a couple. Accountability, the act of holding someone else responsible for the consequences when your AI system fails.
You didn't train it right.
I know. Audit, a review that you pay someone else to do of your company or AI system so that you appear more transparent without needing to change anything.
Yeah, that's right.
Truth. Compliance, the act of following the law. Anything that isn't illegal goes. And the last... not to be confused with ethics. And this is the last one I have, although there's a whole bunch of them, so you need to check out the article. So the last one is privacy trade-off, the noble sacrifice of individual control over personal information for group benefits like AI-driven healthcare advancements, which also happen to be highly profitable. So check it out for a good chuckle and, you know, see if you can come up with any and tweet about it. And that wraps up this week's Information Inspirations. 20 years ago, the then Big Five accounting firms were attempting to position themselves more like large law firms. Over the past two decades, the Big Four professional services firms have found their groove when it comes to legal managed services and understanding the holistic approach to knowing their clients' businesses. Now big law firms are looking to position themselves more like the Big Four. We bring on three leaders of Deloitte's legal business services team to learn more about what they are doing and how they are attracting legal talent to come and work on their team.
We'd like to welcome our three guests today. Bob Taylor rejoins us to talk about his new role at Deloitte Legal Business Services team as Managing Director. Bob, good to have you back.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Valerie Dickerson is the Legal Business Service Partner at Deloitte Tax LLP in Washington, D.C. Valerie, glad you're here.
Thanks for having me.
And last but not least is Mark Ross, Principal at Deloitte Legal Business Services in Los Angeles. Mark, nice to have you here as well.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Well, let's jump right in. So, Bob, since you were here last, you left Liberty Mutual after a mere 25-year run to join Deloitte Legal Business Services. What motivated you to move from your in-house position to join Valerie and Mark in the executive team driving Deloitte's transformation offerings in legal managed services?
Yeah, so I think last time we talked, Marlene, we were kind of doing a debrief of the Boston Legal Design Challenge,
yeah,
I think
that's
is
right.
What we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my thinking was kind of as follows. Like, first of all, I absolutely loved my time at Liberty Mutual. And while I was there, I bled Liberty Blue. And I have nothing but positive things to say about my experience there and my colleagues. And, you know, it's a really great, you know, state-of-the-art, world-class legal department there. For me personally, I always have liked to build things and be part of something that is in growth mode. And I really got a great, unique opportunity in my role at Liberty Mutual to see the marketplace as a whole. I was very involved in a number of organizations, as you guys know, like with CLOC and ACC and the ABA. And I could see what was coming around the corner, which is this amazing market opportunity or inflection point in the marketplace. Legal business services is a multi-billion dollar marketplace today, and I believe poised to experience ongoing significant year-over-year growth. The boutique alternative legal service providers, I think they've helped to create this market. However, given just Deloitte's sheer size and scale and diversity of their experience, their obvious business reputation, I mean, they're considered, I think, the most respected professional services organization in the world. All of that combined really, I think, gives Deloitte a distinct advantage to respond to what I'm seeing as an evolving circumstance in the corporate, you know, for the corporate legal department to take advantage of these types of services going forward. And, you know, I saw the team that they were assembling at Deloitte, and I really wanted to be a part of that. And I think that Deloitte is just so well positioned to draw a really straight line from the managed services that they offer to an ROI. And I wanted to be a part of that.
Valerie, you had moved into legal business services after being a tax partner there with Deloitte for many years. As the client and market leader for legal business services, how do you find in-house counsel viewing your services? And what additional services do you see your team offering that they may not be using at the moment?
To your first question, one of the things that surprised me about moving sort of in this area, being a historical tax partner, is how much is going on in the legal space that we've seen going on in the tax space. And what I'm specifically referring to is that pressure around needing to do more, the issues increasing, but the budgets and the staff not necessarily increasing or perhaps even decreasing. And so I find that in-house counsel is needing our services probably more now, and maybe some of that was driven by COVID, that all of this change is sort of converging. One of the service offerings that I can see becoming more of a need in the U.S. as there's a convergence around global reporting is in the legal entity management space, which actually has a nice tie-in with tax as well. And just the concept there of people and processes needing to be, to make sense from a global perspective within an organization, and that having a domestic element too.
So Mark, Bob already told us he bled Liberty blue. So clearly he really enjoyed his work at Liberty Mutual. What did you do that convinced him to come and join your team? What are some of the initial projects and goals that someone with Bob's in-house and innovation experience helps you achieve?
Thanks, Marlene. First of all, I've known Bob for a number of years now and followed his career with great interest as I've seen him play an absolutely integral role in the transformation of Liberty Mutual's legal department and legal operations function. And he's somebody that I have admired in the legal innovation space, you know, for a long time. And what is crystal clear to me is that we are genuinely competing for talent right now. We're strategically investing in both external and internal talent in legal business services, with the opportunity in the market that is presented to Deloitte, delivering on cross-functional engagements that require a multidisciplinary talent and approach, you know, an approach that embraces process standardization, automation and AI, global delivery, alternative resourcing, continuous improvement. The talent that we need to deliver on that approach goes far beyond traditional legally trained talent. It includes knowledge engineers, it includes technologists, it includes procurement and sourcing specialists, process analysts, management consultants, data scientists, and yes, of course, legally trained professionals, but those legally trained professionals who bring both the in-house expertise that Bob brings to the table after 25 years at Liberty Mutual, coupled with all of the additional skill sets that I just regaled to you, made Bob an outstanding candidate to be a member of the Deloitte Legal Business Services executive team, despite him being a Tottenham Hotspur fan.
Well, I'm glad you put that last part in, because his head was starting to swell and I wasn't sure his headphones were gonna still fit. So
So when you say internal and external competition, what do you mean by that?
So internally within Deloitte, the access to the multidisciplinary talent across the globe is quite remarkable. You know, we invest huge sums in data science, analytics, artificial intelligence, our consulting capabilities. You know, the brand permission that Deloitte internally brings to the table, with tried and tested C-suite relationships, a track record of credentials supporting transformation at our clients across the entire enterprise, we need to leverage both external talent from the world of legal innovation, individuals like Bob, coupled with leveraging the tremendous internal talent geographically, cross-functionally, that Deloitte, as the world's largest, most respected professional services organization, can bring to the table.
Yeah, so Mark made me blush. I know we can't see that on the podcast, you know, but he certainly has made me blush a little bit. But I would say that, you know, I think one thing that's unique that I can bring to the table, you know, based on the makeup of the team, is having kind of some extreme empathy for our in-house counsel clients. I think that kind of lens or viewpoint that I bring to the table is really helpful. And then, you know, speaking of empathy, I think the only one that can understand my pain as a Tottenham Hotspur fan is somebody who that might be a Newcastle fan. There might be more suffering in the Newcastle fans than there are in the Tottenham Hotspur fans, but empathy is really one of the things I think I bring to the table that can really help the in-house clients really, you know, assure that we understand their perspective and the pain points that they feel.
Empathy and sarcasm, Bob.
Yes.
That's it. In equal measure.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bob is full of both.
There's a balance to be struck there.
Yes, there is. Well, you know, a lot of my peers in the legal ops profession, you know, we've been reading about the entry, how the big four are being painted. And essentially, over the past few years, we're seeing the big four's legal services being painted as alternative legal service providers, or ALSP. Is that how you see yourself, this group, or do you see more of a direct competition with law firms?
So, you know, we don't see ourselves in direct competition with law firms in the sense that we are not providing legal advice. But as the legal ecosystem, it kind of continues to evolve. Our clients are always going to need legal advisory services. And, you know, here in the U.S., we will not be providing those services. That's not something that Legal Business Services does here in the United States, but only by being coordinated and complementary with law firms, I think, in this ecosystem will, I think, our clients find and benefit from end-to-end service, where the whole really is probably greater than the sum of its parts. I think a combination of law firms, and you know, we anticipate being able to help expand and scale the volume of opportunities for both Deloitte and our clients. And I'd love to see law firms lean in to that coordination with us, because I think together, the sum of legal business services from Deloitte and law firms can really create some superior value for our clients. The clients are really becoming much more sophisticated, Greg, and they really understand that there's a need to disaggregate the work and position the work to those who are best suited to deliver the highest degree of value. And I think if they combine superior legal services from law firm with superior managed services from LBS, they might be very pleased with the outcome.
If I can just jump in as well, Bob,
please do.
On that, I thought the question was an interesting one, because trying to bucket a given services provider under the lexicon alternative legal services provider, there's a tremendous amount of energy, and frankly wasted energy in my opinion, on what one calls oneself. Alternative legal services is much more about an approach, and Bob touched on this in terms of the disaggregation of workflow, leverage of alternative resourcing models, leveraging technology, data science, data analytics, the multidisciplinary approach that I talked about earlier. You know, Bob touched on this as well, that class of service provider that the market defines as alternative legal services providers, that yes, that you know, they do deserve credit for driving change in what was historically an artisanal profession. But to the point that I made, if you look at the AmLaw 100, I think there was a survey that came out several months ago whereby 35 of the AmLaw 100 have developed their own alternative legal services capability. Does that mean that they are now alternative legal services providers, or are they embracing an alternative legal services delivery approach? And I would argue that it is the latter.
That's an interesting question. Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of them are doing it because they want to have a clear delineation between the two. And I have some thoughts on that as well. That could be its own multi-series of podcast on why we're doing that. But I think a lot of us, and it's America, we love our titles. We love to be able to put everything into, you know, a box and say that it's this. And so I think, and quite frankly, I think a lot of law firms are a little bit nervous of, you know, because the big four is always the boogeyman in the room. Everyone for the past 12 years has been talking about how, you know, the big four are going to be back in direct competition. So I think it's something that they're constantly looking at. So, but yeah, I think, I think your point is fair that while we're complaining about this, we're also doing this other thing at the same time. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic that we have going on in the industry.
Now, Bob, I know you've only been at Deloitte for a few weeks. So Mark, you know, please feel free to help him out on this one if he needs it. How do Deloitte and the other big four firms view the business of law? Now, you've seen it as a client. Where do you think they're going? Mm-hmm. Or even better, where would you like to take them now that you're at Deloitte?
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I talked a little bit about that client sophistication and how it's mm-hmm. growing.
Right.
And, you know, you're seeing more and more professionals getting the title of chief operating officer for the legal department or, you know, a head of legal operations, and you're seeing more resources being poured into that space. So there's clearly an understanding that there needs to be more resource put in terms of the business of law. And the challenges facing legal departments today require some type of a multidisciplinary capability around technology leadership and deep experience in change management. And Deloitte Legal Business Services bring all these skill sets along with a trusted brand, I think, to enhance the business of law. I kind of say that when I was in my role previous, most of the issues that an in-house legal department face are business problems in a legal wrapper. And Deloitte is really well positioned to understand those business problems and then help solve for that legal wrapper around it. Now, of course, you know, the in-house legal department will seek outside counsel where they need to if there's legal advice required. But the majority of issues, the day-to-day kind of operate issues that an in-house legal department faces tend to be those business problems in a legal wrapper. And Deloitte has such depth in dealing and solving for these business problems that I think we're really well positioned to solve that. So over time, I can see, you know, Deloitte being able to show that expertise and really be able to deliver that value to the clients over time. So that's where I'd like to take it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to jump over to Valerie to talk about, so how does Deloitte's environment provide this structure for innovation and creativity, technology, and ingenuity to grow? And more importantly, become a part of your overall services and consultancy operation to clients. Do you see this as something that's unique to your overall operations? And does it set you apart from traditional services that in-house clients receive from law firms?
So in answering your question, Marlene, I'm going to just tie on to a little bit of what Bob was saying, because I think at our core, Deloitte is, we help our clients succeed and thrive. And you can't do that unless you're focused on the future. And if the future is not something that you can react to or just kind of wait and see what happens, our clients have to make decisions all the time with multiple uncertainties all the time. And that resonates with legal, it resonates across the C-suite. And that's just what we do, is we help our clients thrive. We help our clients pave the future. We have a point of view on the future, help shape it. So I guess it's just part of our DNA. I kind of laugh a little bit when I think of innovation and structure, because part of it is the freedom for creativity. And part of it is just knowing our clients' businesses in and out. And so I do think we're uniquely positioned because of our multidisciplinary capabilities. I mean, we help the C-suite. We help the CHROs around human capital. We help tax around tax planning and how to reorganize tax departments. You know, we are involved in M&A, we're involved in strategy, we're involved in all these different areas already across the C-suite, and we can shop internally for that capability to uniquely serve our clients in legal the way they need to be served. So if they need help around how AI can really help them, we can do that. If they need help around how RPA can really help them, we can do that. If they need help with the overall business model strategy, which can include how you deploy people and how you match processes to the needs of the business and enable that with technology and have the right sort of people model. We can do all that. And so some of it is what these brilliant people have brought to the team, not to make their heads too big. And some of it's what Deloitte brings to our clients sort of every day. And so I do think we're uniquely suited. I think we're also just very focused on this. We're excited about the space. I don't know if that answers all your questions. I feel like a politician that I answered the question I wanted to answer on that one, but maybe I'm in there somewhere.
Well, no, you're definitely in there somewhere. I mean, and I just wanted to take two pieces out of that that I thought were very interesting. You know, one was the sort of understanding every aspect of the client. And, you know, that's something that we talk about in firms in terms of gaining more intelligence about a client, like just knowing everything, not just sort of responding to legal issues, but being able to sort of know in depth what their business is about and what their concerns are and what the challenges and risks are, so that you can better serve in a legal capacity and be proactive about serving in a legal capacity. So that's something we talk about on the firm side too. And the other part you mentioned was the flexibility. So not only do you know everything, but then you have the flexibility to act upon that. And so I think that, you know, those two things, you know, definitely answer what I was asking.
This is a part of the show where we really like to for the guests to kind of pull out their crystal ball and predict where they see their operations in a few years. So maybe, Mark, I'll toss this to you first. For Deloitte's legal business services, what changes do you hope to make in the market over the next decade?
Great question, Greg. And I think my answers play off some of Valerie and Bob's comments from earlier. If you think through the overlapping and interrelated challenges impacting our clients at the enterprise level and functionally within the legal department, the volume of work continues to increase exponentially. Teams lack the bandwidth to keep pace. Within the legal function, many are trained in the practice of law, not the business of delivering highly efficient technology-enabled legal services. On top of that, what we're seeing on an increasingly frequent basis is that the legal function itself is being asked to change. It's being asked to morph from what was historically viewed as a cost center to what we would define as a value creator. It is no longer being viewed as siloed, as separated from the rest of the organization. And as I think through the strategic growth plans and opportunities for Deloitte Legal Business Services, that is truly predicated on our ability to help the legal department better collaborate with business stakeholders from across the enterprise, procurement, finance, IT, sales. So where do I think we will get to? I think we will be playing a journey partner role in helping the legal department become a more strategic resource and value creator for the entire enterprise.
So they can't just be the department of no anymore, right? That's what I'm seeing a lot of.
The department of it depends.
Yes. Yeah. I'm much more familiar with that department. So, Bob or Valerie?
Yeah, I'll jump in. I agree with Mark. I think we have to make sure that our legal department clients are strategy players in enabling the corporate mission, seizing market opportunity as well while mitigating risk. And I think that expectation is going to be there in the eyes of the CEOs and in the eyes of the C-suite. I think for the better of the legal department, CLOs should hope that expectation is there, which means the CLOs need a strategy for executing on that. And I think that's where we can be helpful. I think we're going to see this throughout the C-suite, that there needs to, that strategy needs to be very integrated for all the stakeholders to enable each other in order to accomplish the whole. And it's only going to get more complicated, but it's going to get more exciting too. So we don't want anyone left behind. And to be honest, I think, you know, us being this much more presently in the space, probably going to change our business too. We're probably going to pivot to things too. There are things that I'd like to see a tax adopt coming out of this. So so I think it's going to be pretty exciting to see where all this goes.
Yeah. So Greg, I absolutely love your crystal ball question that you ask all the time and making people look into the future, because you need to do a retrospective in 10 years time to see how many of these have come true.
Yep. But we've predicted like 12 of the last two futures. So we're doing well.
That's fantastic. I love that. So imagine what a future will look like when CPAs and lawyers work together. I mean, can you imagine the fun that people will have? I mean, so that's kind of what we've got here today. Now, we brought
that's a picture I can't get out of my head now.
Let's all pause for a second and think about that.
Can you imagine the cocktail party of some of the smartest CPAs and lawyers in the world getting together? What that would be like? Amazing, right? Now, all joking aside, even though that would be awesome, it is awesome. My prediction for the future is around the following. And I think that I've heard people on your podcast talk about this, and I wholeheartedly believe this, that it's a data-driven world. And I think we're going to just see exponential leaps in our ability to not only capture, exploit, utilize, and put to work the massive amounts of what I call legal exhaust, all the data or information that comes off of the legal function. We're going to be able to better capture it, and we're going to find ways to make better decisions faster that lead to better results. And that's going to be a combination, yes, of AI. It's going to be a combination of all those interesting machine learning predictions that people are putting together, neural nets and all of that. But it's also going to be a matter of people bringing to bear really smart professionals that understand how to leverage data and how to then translate that into action. So for me, over the next 5-10 years, we're going to see exponential leaps in that, and it's going to benefit businesses dramatically. And I think it's going to make people's jobs more satisfactory and enjoyable, so that people can, you know, kind of really focus on kind of the more knotty, interesting problems and kind of shed some of that lower level, less interesting, mundane work.
Yeah, well, definitely we're going to revisit that one, because I really do I really do hope that prediction comes true. Speaking of cocktail parties with CPAs and lawyers, you kind of set me up for the next question. Now, I have heard, and I've heard this was at a conference that I heard this, and it was pre-COVID. So, you know, that some of the Big Four have actually partnered with law firms in certain circumstances to handle large matters together, since the client worked with both of them. So is this something that you're planning on doing? And, you know, what advice would you give firms to better recognize this opportunity?
I'll jump in here, Marlene. So, you know, again, I think Bob touched on this earlier. You know, we collaborate with law firms on a daily basis in ensuring that our clients and their clients receive a comprehensive end-to-end suite of solutions. You know, as Bob mentioned, we do not provide legal advice here in the US. And it's only really through collaboration, coordination with our law firm partners that we can provide that service that is greater than the sum of its constituent parts, and that we're able to both scale and expand the volume of opportunities for both Deloitte and our clients. So it truly is proactive, collaborative constituents in an ever-changing and evolving legal ecosystem.
Yeah, and I would add that there was recently a publication from the Center on the Legal Profession, and their publication called The Practice. They examined kind of law firms' viewpoint on kind of the Big Four coming into the marketplace. And it was really an interesting read around that some law firms have just completely ignored, you know, the situation, and it said it doesn't affect their business model. Others see it on the other extreme, that they feel that this is really going to be a significant issue and that they're starting to adjust and they're developing, as Mark mentioned earlier, their own internal kind of alternative legal service providers. And others are kind of playing this wait and see. My personal view on this is that I would rather see more collaboration and coordination between legal business services like Deloitte's and law firms. I think ultimately the winner becomes the client in that respect. And so that's what I expect over time. I think to kind of just resist and ignore it is probably not the best strategy. But, you know, look, everybody has to do what they think is right for their own business model. But I ultimately think if the client is being put first, that coordination makes the most sense.
So as a CPA and a lawyer, I collaborate with myself all the time.
All right, best answer right there.
But that being said, I do think there's a long history of collaboration between law firms and Big Four, certainly in the tax space, around controversy, absolutely, around being advisors on tax issues. I've absolutely seen it. On the advisory side of the house, or what we call advisory, certainly our discovery abilities, you know, teaming with law firms. So the precedent is there, and I think we would welcome ways to do that in legal business services.
And I probably should have asked this question before I asked you to pull out your crystal ball, but and Mark, I think you touched on this right at the beginning of the interview, and that was, you know, we're looking at what types of new roles and are going to be developed in the legal operations area and where you see the growth. I know you talked a lot about data analytics and things like that, but, you know, what kind of backgrounds and skills are people that are coming in into your department, are you going to be wanting them to have? And are you going to be looking at law students in law schools to develop this, or other schools? Are you going to be looking for other seasoned professionals like Bob to come in and do the work? What do you see as far as the talent?
Well, I'll reinforce my opening salvo, so to speak. It is all about the talent right now. We are competing for talent. Both with access to internal and external resources, with alternative legal services providers. And that talent crosses a multitude of skill sets, disciplines, professions. So the short and sweet answer to your question is yes, 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 and yes. We're looking for individuals who have the been there, done that capabilities from the world of in-house legal operations, process improvement, data science, knowledge engineers, solution architects, of course, legally trained professionals as well. But if I think across the wealth of skill sets that we leverage in the delivery, not only today of the legal business services that we provide to our clients, but looking into the crystal ball where we will be in the next 5 to 10 years, legal qualifications and legal training is but one of a multitude of skill sets that we need to have in our arsenal of skill sets. Bob, do you see what I did there? To bring to our clients.
He's always tweaking me on the Spurs thing with the reference to the Gunners. I don't know why he did that, but what can you do? You know, just to build on what Mark's saying about talent, I adopt and agree with everything Mark said, of course. But I would also say, you know, on a base level, right, we need people that are comfortable being uncomfortable. We need folks that can operate with less than perfect information and that can be able to move forward and understand how to be lifelong learners. You know, there's a lot of folks that want to establish themselves as experts in their field and just kind of stay within their lane. That's good. And those people are very useful and will certainly be needed into the future. But those folks that are willing to kind of have, and I think you guys have heard this before, kind of T-shaped skills, right, that you're very deep in one particular aspect in terms of experience, but very broad and your understanding about many disciplines around, you know, the business of law is going to be very important. And I would just also just end with saying, you know, truthfully, and what I've seen thus far at Deloitte, quite honestly, is a lot of people that have a significant skill around GSD, meaning that they just get stuff done. I think that's the attitude that people bring to this role at Deloitte. You get really smart people that understand how to move things forward and close gaps between a client's strategy and execution. That's what I've seen. And that's the kind of talent that we need.
And Bob did that without us having to put the explicit label on the podcast this week.
That's right. I want to keep the show PG at best. Yeah.
Well, I think we just did the GPD, which is get the podcast done. So, Bob, congratulations on the move over to Deloitte, and thanks to both Mark Ross and Valerie Dickerson for joining us today to talk more about Deloitte Legal Business Services. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it's good to have Bob back on. Having 25 years under your belt at one place and then going on, he looks like he's got some high energy, ready to take on his new role there at Deloitte.
Yeah, I mean, he mentioned that, you know, he's been a client, so it's, you know, it's kind of, I think they're going to gain a lot, you know, from him in terms of that type of internal knowledge. So that's great.
Yeah, it's a great perspective to bring that in. I'm seeing some of that happening in law firms now where they're bringing clients, GCs from clients in. And that's something
like reversal, right? It used to be the other way.
Well, and that's, you know, and that's one of the things in reading, leading up into this interview is what was really interesting was in the late 90s, early 2000s, when the Big Five were around and in legal, they were trying to mimic law firms. And now you're seeing law firms trying to mimic the Big Four as right. far as a holistic service to the client. So it's really interesting. And I think Bob gives Mark and Valerie some good insights on what works and, you know, what are the things that keep the GCs up at night.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I just love the focus again on sort of holistic client knowledge and client service. So you're looking at the client, not in just one capacity, but as a whole. And, you know, I think he understands that that's what clients wants, and you know they have the scale to do it.
Yeah, and Valerie said something which was, we know our clients' business. We mm-hmm. know their business, and that's something that it's been kind of funny because you and I and our competitive intelligence and our know your client
exactly
business have been preaching this to our peers for two decades, that you've got to know your client. You've got to know them inside and out, know what their pain points are, and be able to deliver services, not just on the immediate need, but on the overall need. So it's great that we're finally pulling that together.
You couple that with sort of the analytics and kind of understanding, you know, what the legal risks are, whether it's, you know, changes in regulations, whether it's, you know, potential litigation risks. And so you couple that complete understanding with the legal understanding. And I mean, you know, you're just on fire.
Well, thanks to Bob Taylor for coming back on. I think this was his third time at least.
I know.
Mark Ross and Valerie Dickerson for joining us from Deloitte.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you all. Before we go, we want to remind listeners to take the time to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate and review us as well. If you have comments about today's show or suggestions for a future show, you can reach us on Twitter at @GayBauerM or at @Glambert, or you can call the Geek and Review hotline at 713-487-7270 or email us at geekandreviewpodcast@gmail.com. And as always, the music you hear is from Jerry David DeSica. Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry. All right, Marlene, I will talk with you later.
Okay, bye-bye.